Welcome to the Sportscast, January 13th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. Visit us on thesportscast.net and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. It's January football. The 2023 NFL wild card begins this weekend. But also, a lot of coaching changes. Black Monday happened this past week, and it was kind of predictable. And, of course, there's some interviews in underway. And join us from the great white north, Jeff Jishnak. Welcome back
to The Sportscast. It is snowing today. You can't see outside, but it is snowing today here in Canada. Thank you. It's Friday the 13th, and he thought, who is the scariest person we know? And here I am.
Talking Jeff, Jishnak, how do you handle the cold in Canada?
Easy peasy. I'll be out. I got to go shovel. I'll be out shoveling in bare feet later because it's just what it is.
Well,
all right. So coaching changes.
There's only two firings on Monday. That was it. But there were some previous firings a couple months ago.
Yeah, this is what pisses me off. And I know it's a business. And I know it's a win now league. I understand all of that, but it still pisses me off. Houston, like, this is their third coach in 3 years. All right. You know, you have Lovie Smith. Okay, Dave Corey. Whatever, what you want to say about him. Like, and even a few years ago, San Francisco had the guy, they gave him a year, like one. Like, you can't give a guy a year and say, we're going to give you nothing. Go out and win. You know, it'd be like, you know, here's a Chevette. Go and race in an F1 race. Oh, you didn't win. Well, you suck as a driver. Well, no, you don't give them the tools. You got to give them, like, you know, look at what Detroit's doing. Detroit is the model. The teams need to look at Detroit and MCDC, and you give them time. You can't in a year. Now, we all knew Lovie was a placeholder. We all knew Lovie was one and done. We knew that, right? So, you know, now they have the number two pick. Are they going to move up to be the number one? Are they going to drop down? Are they going to stick with Davis Mills? It is not... You know, I know that they're interviewing people, but I would have a lot of questions. I would have a lot of questions for ownership, for the McNair family, before I took that job.
Yeah.
Who is the person that they want? And is the coach they hire, again, just another placeholder? And if they go 3-whatever next year, then he's going to be gone? Like... You know, what is the, you know, if the, what's the strategy? Now, you know, the NFL has come out and reprimanded. The NFL has said, come on, you've spent $800 million on coach firings. You know, Matt Rhule, you know, he doesn't have to work again. And he's going to be getting paid for the next 60 years based on that contract. You know, sure, he's going to go get another job and it's all going to come back. I know. Don't at me about all that. I know all that. But.
So for the Texans, they have granted permission or gotten permission to interview these folks. Let me read them out to you. You may not know them. You may know them. Thomas Brown, he is a tight ends coach for the Rams. Interview requested. Ergio Evero, defensive coordinator for the Broncos. He got permission to interview with the Texans. Jonathan Gannon, he's a defensive coordinator from the Eagles. Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator from the Detroit. Mike Kafka, offensive coordinator from the Giants. So Vic might be, of course, thinking about that. Sean Payton, he's in everyone's interview appointments. He is the former head coach of the Saints. DeMeco Ryans, defensive coordinator for the Niners, and Shane Steichen, offensive coordinator for the Eagles. What do you think about this list? Obviously, Sean Payton is the big one from this list.
So here's my issue with Sean Payton, because I have a lot of Cowboy haters that go, you should hire Sean Payton. And I'm like, but we have a coach who won a Super Bowl over a decade ago with a future Hall of Famer. Why do, if he is so great, why did he only have one Super Bowl a decade ago or more with a future Hall of Famer when many years they didn't make the playoffs? So answer, can someone answer me that question? This is an open question to the millions of people who watch this network. Answer me that question. Why, when he had a future Hall of Famer, there were many years the Saints did not make the playoffs, and they only got one Super Bowl 50,000 years ago?
That's a great question. But is Sean Payton better than Mike McCarthy?
In terms of how do you – is Coke better than Pepsi?
Can Sean Payton lead the Cowboys to the next level?
A cowboy hater of mine, you know, said, you should hire Sean Payton. And I ran the numbers. And if you look at Mike McCarthy and you look at Sean Payton, their stats are more or less the same. He goes, oh, Sean Payton's got a better winning percentage and this, that, and the other. And I ran the numbers, and I'm like, dude, yeah, if you go to four decimal places, sure. He, you know, otherwise the numbers are more or less. So what do you mean? Like, okay, if he's so much better, how come the Saints were in the playoffs every year? Why weren't they in the AFC Championship game every year? So better how? Better what?
A big debate, of course.
Right? So, you know, so yes, he, you know. Now, my other issue is not all coordinators can be head coaches. Now, sure, you're going to argue, well, you're not going to know if a coordinator makes a good head coach unless they give him a try. Okay, fair enough. But, you know, the Raiders, you saw what that clown did, no offense, to in Denver. You know he's a better coordinator than a head coach. Why make him a head coach? Unless you know, I don't know. So not, you know, lots of coordinators are getting interviews. You know, okay, this tight end coach. Yeah, great tight end coach. Great. You know, will he make an OC? Yeah, probably. Would he make a good offensive coordinator? Well, we'll see. But throwing him from a tight end coach, interviewing for your head coaching position?
Big question marks. And I agree as well. Like,
you know,
Judge.
And I know you want a big, you know, sometimes you want a Sean Payton or you want a whomever because you want a big name to
John Harbaugh.
He's too busy buying $4 burgers and getting sanctioned by the NCAA over that. That's a whole nother discussion. That's a whole nother show. I'm sure you guys on the Wednesday show, you guys talked about that at length. I think they have to prove themselves. Everyone's looking at the Sean McVays who just kind of came up and, oh, look, he took them to the Super Bowl twice. And, oh, look, they won it once. And everybody wants that young, you know, that young whippersnapper. But Lovey's a good coach. I think if you had given him some time, look at MCDC in Detroit. They're giving him what time they need. Winning record this year, did they make the playoffs? No. Should they have made the playoffs? Yes. You know, would they have done a better job in the playoffs than Seattle will? You could argue that. You know? But they're in a win now. If you don't win now, okay, we got to get rid of the coach or the GM. I know it's a business. I know it's a win now league. I understand all of that. But you're not helping yourself, Carolina, by getting rid of Matt Rhule and still paying him boatloads of money. And now you're just going to be cycling through coaches until you find what you want.
Now for the Texans, the firing of Lovie Smith, that does leave them with the number two pick in the NFL draft. So whoever is going to fill that role will have an opportunity to start over, perhaps a quarterback, right, Jeff?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I've got my first mock draft will be coming out shortly, based on the teams now in their final positions as of the end of the season, not counting like it's going to count like where they are now, not where they will be at the end of the. Obviously, whoever wins the Super Bowl would get picked number 32, but. If Seattle, you know, they're at whatever 18 or 19 now. If they win the Super Bowl, they would be 32. Not counting that year end of year seeding. does Chicago go quarterback? Does Chicago, Carolina? You know, and it's just going to go with that. It's not going to take into account what could happen. Carolina's got a bunch of picks. I can see them moving up, and if they try to move up to get a quarterback, what does then Houston want to do? So there's going to be a lot of moving parts in this offseason around that. But assuming everything stays the same, if we just take, okay, let's just take everything the same. Obviously, Chicago will probably go Carter or you know, there's a couple other people they could go with on the D-line. And then that would leave quarterback for Houston. If you're, you know, and again, if you got a new coach coming in, he's going to probably want to pick his quarterback and live and die by that guy, whoever that might be, whether it's Young or CJ or whomever.
Another coach that got fired was Arizona Cardinals Cliff Kingsbury. He was hired 4 years ago, when he got hired, he actually picked number one, Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. Kingsbury is out to cap the worst season of his mercurial tenure in Arizona. Mm-hmm. He finished the year 4-13. Despite improving the team on paper in his second and third season at the helm of the team, the former Texas Tech coach managed just a single playoff appearance while overseeing four straight late year slumps. Mm-hmm. An aging, injury-riddled roster didn't necessarily help. J.J. Watt retired, nor did a banged-up and erratic Murray. But Kingsbury offense too often looked lack rhythm to remain relevant. Arizona will likely look to hire another offensive mind capable of rejuvenating Murray after the quarterback inked a lucrative extension last offseason. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Your thoughts over Arizona
and they need a GM.
GM, that position is open. Correct.
They need a GM too. Whether Kingsbury got fired or mutually decided to part ways. Yes, they're calling it a firing, so he gets his package. I understand that. We all knew they were going to have to go with GM because there was no way he was coming back. Or should he probably come back? I don't know the extent of his health issues, and I don't care to know. So we knew they were going to be looking at a GM. Bidwell's his worst own enemy. He's talking about getting rid of D-Hop. You're not going to attract a coach if you're going to try to get rid of the best player in the NFL. Yes, I said that. So you're on record as you're saying you're going to get, you want to be coach team, but you're going to get rid of my best player. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, what's Murray's status? He's not going to be back in September. Is he going to be back by October? You know, again, they would know better than I, and he could talk to the medical staff and know exactly when he's projected to come back. But he will not be back week one. So who's your day one starter now? So now do you go get a quarterback? Murray is going to be involved, and so what? He's going to find one of his Call of Duty buddies to coach. I don't know. It's another. Bidwell's his own worst enemy by babbling. I think they're going to end up going GM, and then let the GM help pick his coach. But I think they need a guy. I think they need someone who can do both GM and, you know, have some decisions at the personnel level. That's what I think.
Here are the candidates so far for the Cardinals. Brian Flores, interview has been requested. He's currently a lineback coach for the Steelers. Vance Joseph, he's a defensive coordinator for the Cardinals. And of course, Sean Payton. He's in pretty much everyone's list to interview. Jeff, your thoughts over these candidates so far? You know, things could be added here.
Well, again, they're all good. They're all proven. I think they all could do well. If you want an offensive-minded guy, I'm not sure the first two are those kind of guys. My comments around Sean Payton still stands. Again, some of it depends on who they bring in as GM and what is the GM, what is the vision the GM has for the team.
Should the GM do the hiring of the head coach?
I think it should be in their case. I think it should. Normally I would say yes, but in their case, I think they need somebody who can do to kind of do both, have some personnel decisions. And that way they can set the tone for where they want to go in their case. Cause I think they have the talent. They have the talent. They just need somebody who can then harness that talent. Now, if you're going to get rid of D-Hop and if you're not going to have Kyler Murray, then that's a whole different discussion. Right. So if you're Kyler Murray, doesn't show back up until October or November, you know, you got to do something for the first month, season, 6 weeks.
Yeah. As Jeff said, Cardinals are lock and loaded. They got a receiver. They got a good quarterback.
For now.
Things could change. He did have some old people.
He said at the owner's meeting, he's going to be talking with the owner. So he could be, you know, he could be gone.
Could be gone. A lot of ifs, question marks, things like that. Yep. Another team that is open in the running, the Denver Broncos. They fired Nathaniel Hackett, first-time year coach, after a horrendous season. And, of course, they had quarterback Russell Wilson. Your thoughts over the situation, and I could pull up the candidates whenever you're ready.
Well, again, coordinator becoming a head coach, you need to give him a year. Yes, I know. I heard the criticism. Yes, I watched the games. Yes, you have Russell Wilson, a future Hall of Famer. Yes, there was some, you know, he's a coordinator becoming a head coach. Yes, there was some questionable decisions at the in the first few games, timeouts and this and that, and challenges and player movements. But you got to give them, back to my original comment, you got to give them time to figure it out, from being a coordinator to now being the guy, the head coach. You got to give them some time. You know, I know that everybody in Denver was, you know, they wanted him fired halfway through the season. You know, I think they wanted him fired after the first game. The people were asking for him to be fired. Every Monday, I was like, is Daniel Hackett being fired today?
Made that comment about that field goal, if he should have went for it, that I just saw the
confidence he had. Well, and you know what? And I stated this on this show and numerous other shows, and I know that the host of the biggest sports show on the internet, on this exact network, Aaron, always says that it's the quarterback's fault for every loss. I understand that, but that field goal at the end of the game does not lose you the game. Right. I disagree with Aaron's other host, Ray, about the college football, the Ohio State. You know, he goes, the kicker should have made that field goal. It was a chip shot 50 yarder. I go, yeah, but that doesn't lose you the game. I'm on record. Aaron also says, Tony Romo is to blame for every Cowboy loss in his tenure. Again, it's not the quarterback's fault. Aaron says it is, and so we'll assume that it is. But that last play of the game doesn't lose you the game. Decisions all the way through the game, right? And I've said this on many shows where, when they go for it early in this first quarter or second quarter, I'm a take the points kind of guy. Take the points. Oh, we could go for it on fourth down and maybe we get – no, you're fourth and one. Take the points. You always take the points because you never know what's going to happen and how that – you always never give up points. I'm a big take the points kind of guy.
So take the field goal.
Take the field goal. You're fourth and one. It's early on. Yeah, you could probably go for it. How many times do they go for it and they don't get it? and then, oh, you lost by 2 points. Or, oh, now we need a touchdown because we're down by four. Well, if you'd taken that field goal, yes, a lot of other crap could have happened or other parts of the game. I understand that. But I'm a take the points kind of guy, right? So I'm never going to fault. I'm never going to fault for somebody. And you know what? And if he makes a decision, and if it's the and it works out for them, oh, then it's the greatest call in the world. My God, how gutsy he made that call, and blah blah blah. Whereas if it doesn't make it, well, now he's the escape. You know, he's the donkey, and he's the scapegoat forever because it didn't work, right? And you know. So I'm a take the points kind of guy. I disagree. Aaron believes it's always the quarterback's fault. And if that's the case, then he is a perfect, you know, 276-0 this year. For every loss, it was always the quarterback's fault.
Victor thinks it's the owner's fault.
So, you know what? It's the players. You know, everyone says, especially about a certain team in Texas, you know, it's the coach's fault. Well, he's not out there. You can coach, and you can watch film, and you can do this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, you know, the guy has to, you know, run out of bounds or not run out of bounds or, you know, whatever. Why didn't he run out of bounds? You know, when, you know, they could have stopped the clock. Oh, is that, you know, because he was trying to get that extra two or three more yards when he could have gotten or tried to get the first down, and he doesn't stretch and he doesn't go out of bounds. And, you know, the coach can tell him 1,000 times and they can watch 1,000 films on that play. But at that moment, with the adrenaline and everything else, it's the player. It's got it. You know, everyone blames the coach. Everyone blames the GM. Everyone blames other people. But at the end of the day, it's the players on the field reacting at that particular moment. Just saying.
All right. And here are the Broncos candidates for the job. Jim Caldwell, former coach of Detroit. Ariel Evero, defensive coordinator for the Broncos. He's also in other teams' lists as well. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of Michigan. I think he was one of the first candidates, him and Sean Payton, to be rumored. Raheem Morris, defensive coordinator for the Rams. Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator of your Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Frank Reich, former head coach of the Colts, is also mentioned, mm-hmm. rumored. DeMeco Ryans, defensive coordinator for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton, all the list, he's including this one. Mm-hmm. And, of course, David Shaw, former head coach of Stanford. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on this list so far?
I don't think Jim's going to come back. I think he's going to stay at Michigan. That's my opinion. I think he's staying at Michigan. Yes, I know there's the investigation because he bought a kid a $4 freaking burger. I understand that. So don't yell at me because I know all that. I think he's going to stay in Michigan. I think Frank Wright did a great job in Indy. I'd like to see him back again. I think he did that. Sean Payton is going to do whatever Sean Payton wants to do. And I think we're still going to be talking about, oh, he had a Hall of Fame quarterback and another Hall of Fame quarterback and he didn't do it. So I don't know. David Shaw is the one that intrigues me. Cause I see you bolded that. Cause when I heard he was retiring from Stanford, I went, oh, so he wants to jump to the NFL. All right. Okay. All right. I see you. I actually thought he would do TV for a year. Because the NFL always has him for their draft coverage on day one. He's always out there. So I thought he would do draft TV. And maybe he will. Maybe he'll do some draft stuff if he doesn't get a job. But I thought he would do TV for a year, make a run of the draft shows, because obviously he knows college kids and college football. So I thought he would do that. And then, you know, figure out where he wants to go in terms of the NFL. And Mike McCarthy did during his year off, is he spent the time just researching and studying the game and studying that. It's a different game. David Shaw's a smart man, well respected. So I could see him. That's what I would like to see him do some TV, study the game, make sure you understand, you know, hook yourself up with somebody with some experience and understand, then hit the ground running next year. When you've got, you know, you've got a system, you've got stuff in place, and you've understood the difference between the two, college and obviously the NFL.
One name you have not mentioned, the elephant in the room, Dan Quinn, currently the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah. Former head coach of Atlanta. He took Atlanta to a Super Bowl. You know, again, quarterback's fault as to why they didn't win. You know, keeping Aaron's perfect streak of always being the quarterback's fault intact. He's a great coach. He is a great coach. You know, he's proven at the coordinator level and at the head coach level. It just depends on what way the Broncos want to go. I think they would be best served having somebody more offensively who can take Russell's talents and go from there.
There you go. Dan Quinn, I believe Jeff is saying he wants him to stay in Dallas.
The other name that I'd like to see more of is Eric Bieniemy of the Chiefs.
He's been interviewed already. I mean, he's been interviewed.
My NFL, my sports producer, Jeffrey, and I have talked about that. We think that he is not going to take any job and that he is just there waiting for to take the Chiefs job when it becomes available, which it probably will in a few years.
That will make a lot of sense for him.
Right. Just stay there. No need to jump into a mess somewhere, because whatever, any of these teams, obviously they're a mess. There is not one of these that is not a mess. And, you know, stay where he is, win another Super Bowl or two, hang out with Pat, you know, make TikToks with Jackson, wait for his spot and become the head coach there. That's, I think, his better move than jumping into one of these. It serves them no purpose, because he's going to end up getting fired, not because of him, but because of every other circumstance that we've discussed.
And finally, the Indianapolis Colts, who had Frank Reich fired and Jeff Saturday as the interim coach. Here are some candidates that have been mentioned and rumored to be Eric Bieniemy, of course, as Jeff mentioned, Eric Ejiro Evero, which is in several lists, from the Broncos, Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator of the Lions, Jim Harbaugh, of course, Ben Johnson, defensive coordinator for the Lions, Raheem Morris, Rams, Jeff Saturday, maybe getting that permanent position. Not sure about that. Shane Steichen, offensive coordinator for the Eagles, and Bubba Ventrone, special coordinators for the Colts. Your thoughts on this list? This Colts team is special. They do have Jonathan, good running back, you know?
They do. What is their thought? They got a good draft pick. They got a good draft spot. Would they move up to take a quarterback? What are they going to do with the quarterback position? That would be the key, is what does the ownership and you know, what do they want to do regarding moving up, moving down, figuring out the quarterback situation, because that's been their Achilles heel. They had a guy for a number of years that was quite good. Believe his name was I think it was a Manning. So they had a guy that was really good, and since he left, they've not really had a guy. So they have to figure that out, and who is the best to take them there? I don't know. If Steve Wilks doesn't get the Carolina job, which he should, then I think Indianapolis should scoop him right up.
You mentioned a Manning. Maybe Peyton Manning as coach, or you just see, or you need to
he used to be ever since he left, they have not had a stability at the quarterback position.
Right. But do you think Peyton Manning could be a head coach in the future and maybe one day at Indianapolis again?
No.
I think he's good where he's at doing Monday Night Football with his brother Eli.
Ugh, I hate that show.
Okay. Very popular here.
Yeah. All right. I understand. I hate Eli. I hate Ellie more than I hate him. Him I can tolerate, I guess. I think Eric Bieniemy would be the best one, but I also don't think I think he's testing the waters. I think he's doing some interviews. But I don't see him leaving the Chiefs. There's no value in him leaving the Chiefs. I think he just bides his time and just waits for the chance to be their head coach, which he would be the unanimous pick, I think, to be the head coach.
And of course, he'll probably have Mahomes around that time come. So not a bad thing.
You would think, you know, he's got a 40-year contract. He's probably going to play until he's 45 or something. There's another guy that wants to play that's literally like 50 or 60. Mind you, he lost that guy also lost $650 million in the FTX. So I think he's got to play for at least another 10 years to try to make up some of those losses.
To recoup.
To recoup his losses from FTX, but that's a whole nother. That's a different show. That's a whole.
And his divorce.
And the divorce. Yeah. Well, he may go play in Las Vegas. Although he's not going to have a running back or wide receiver to throw to.
Or Miami. I've been hearing.
I said that there would not be a running back or wide receiver in Vegas next year. I have said that.
Okay.
I have said that. Any other coaches?
There's one team we have not covered. Is the Carolina Panthers.
They have to hire Steve Wilks. They came within a buckshot of making the playoffs, winning their division. Okay, yes, you can argue it's a crappy division, but sure. But they give him the job.
Winnable division.
Just give him the job. Like what he did? Like, hello. And what are they gonna do? Are they gonna move up? They got a crap ton of draft picks. So I could see them packaging up a bunch of those picks and trading up with Chicago.
Here are the candidates for taking
a quarterback.
Yeah. Carolina Panthers. Here are the candidates that are rumored. Jim Caldwell, former head coach of the Lions. Ken Dorsey, mm-hmm. offensive coordinator for the Bills. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson, mm-hmm. offensive coordinator for the Lions. Mike Kafka, offensive coordinator for the Giants. Jared Mayo, inside linebackers coach of the Patriots, which I heard the Patriots are going to keep him. They're going to resign him. Frank Reich, of course, former head coach of the Colts. DeMeco mm-hmm. Ryans, defensive mm-hmm. coordinator of the Niners. Mm-hmm. Shane Steichen, offensive coordinator of the Eagles. And Steve Wilks, which is Jeff's favorite, to stay interim head coach of the Panthers.
Yes, I know, and you have to interview everybody.
It's the rules.
It is the rules. I understand. It is the rules. But they should have just named him permanent head coach. Like what he did since he took over,
it's been fantastic.
Give him a few years and, just like, again, look at Detroit. Detroit is the model. Houston is not the model. Coach every year. Soon they'll be picking you to be coach. Detroit is the model. They're giving him time. They're building it from within. They have a winning record. Next year they'll make the playoffs. I think it should be Steve Wilks' job.
Steve Wilks.
It just makes logical sense.
Anything else? Give him the on job. The coaching changes that you want to talk about. Give him the
job. Nothing more that I've already said. Just because you're a good coordinator doesn't make you a good head coach. And I think we can tell which guys are good coordinators and would not make good head coaches. I'm sort of surprised that the Raiders aren't looking for a coach, to be honest. But maybe they will.
I think what they did – getting rid of Carr, I think that gave a lifeline for for McDaniels. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, let me, and that's a whole nother discussion. That is a whole nother discussion for a whole nother show about Derek Carr. But
poor guy, but he's available. He's only 29 years old, so could be
he's not
could the, be a fit somewhere.
Yeah, not with the money. No one's gonna he will be picked up. He will be. Here's my prediction. Here's my bold prediction. It's not really that bold. That nothing will happen with him until the start of the season, when a number one guy goes down. So number one guy goes down, and maybe you've got a 1, a 2, a 3 year kid, and you want a good veteran for the QB room. You will then sign him. I don't see any team picking him up. I don't see any team picking him up with his salary unless it gets renegotiated, which obviously it would, before the season starts. That's my bold prediction.
I can see him go to the Commanders for some reason.
I do not.
Okay.
They're going to have new ownership. So again, who knows what the new ownership is going
to
do.
But the process for that to happen, it takes a while, doesn't it?
It does.
Is that instant?
Well, they got to, it'd be great if Mr. Amazon bought them, because he already owns the Washington Post. He already has a home in Washington. He owns
down
the Post.
The road.
He's not working full time anymore. So between that and putting his little spaceship in the space, I think if he took over, fix the stadium. But I think what they have non Carson Wentz related at quarterback is good. So I don't see them. I don't see them drafting a quarterback. You'll have to watch my NFL, my first mock draft, to see who I have them taking in the first round. My prediction, and you can hold me to this, and if I'm wrong, you can call me out, all of you watching. Carr will not get signed until the start of the season, when sadly somebody gets hurt. Somebody, whatever. Whether it's a short-term or a long-term injury, somebody's going to get hurt, a starting quarterback, and they have, somebody. And maybe it's Washington, Maybe they get rid of Tyler Heinicke and they have Sam Howell as the guy. And then, or they have Tyler Heinicke and he gets hurt, and then they're down to Sam Howell. So, and this is assuming they got rid of Wentz. Then they could bring him in. So I can see someone bringing him in once their main starting quarterback goes down, just to have another guy in the quarterback room to help the young, the first, second, third year guy. Let's say Atlanta, Atlanta and Desmond Ridder, who I was big on last year. If you guys remember last year, I was big on Desmond Ridder. I was banging the table for him last year. Something happens, you want to maybe bring him in to help Ridder along as the guy in Atlanta. Let's just say, I'm just spitballing ideas here, but
right. Let me play you a clip from last night's Jersey Boys, and I want to hear your reaction.
Jerry Jones puts himself in at certain situations when he shouldn't, but he doesn't do it during the entire game. Right.
I'm hoping you guys are right.
I just think McCarthy he's just coached bad. His clock management is bad. His play calling is bad.
He's not the play caller. The other guy is.
Well, I mean, just in general, I don't think he's a good coach, right? I mean,
let's get off of them, because we could talk about them guys all day.
But anyhow, that's my deal with them. And then Dak, like I said, you don't know if Dak's going to show up or not. You don't know.
Dak got a lot of stuff going on outside, off the field, man. Like, he's dealt with a lot since he's been in Dallas.
I like Dak. I don't want you to be confused.
I do too.
And look, Tony Romo was a good quarterback, and they couldn't do anything there either.
He just couldn't get over the hump. Like, Tony Romo was a 7th-round draft pick or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out of nowhere with Bill Parcells. He kind of put his foot to his tail, and he challenged him. That Tony Romo, he did what he could do with what he had. That's all the firepower he had.
He put up numbers. Tony Romo put up some big numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, Yeah, you're right. You know what?
He's Dak. He's Dak and Tony Romo. You have two good quarterbacks that couldn't go any further, and I think it's because of Jerry Jones.
The Jersey. There you have it. Because of Jerry Jones, your thoughts over this.
Which play. Of the incorrect statements that were made do you want me to address?
Let's go with the last one he said about Dak and
first
Tony.
First of all, Tony Romo was undrafted. First of all, let's just correct that right off the hop. Now, as Aaron will tell you, it is always the quarterback's fault. 100%. It is his fault. And I've stated this to my friends, and last weekend's game, when Anger dropped the punt, I'm like, how could Dak screw up the punt? And then when Turpin dropped it and fumbled it, I said, oh my God, Dak fumbled the kickoff, the punt return. Like, oh my God, what is he doing? And oh my God, Dak missed the extra point. Again, it's always the quarterback's fault. How do I know this? What happened with Bills last year? Why did they not win the coin toss? Who called the coin toss? Who was that? Right, Josh Allen, the quarterback. His fault. Okay, anyways. So, yes, every loss is on Tony Romo, and every loss is on Dak. Now, you can go back, and you can look, and you can say, oh, Tony brought them back in the fourth quarter, and we got a lead. Great! Oh, and then the defense gave up the game-winning field goal for the other team. Yeah, that's Tony's fault. So, you know, did Dak lose every single game, all five of those games? So, you know, and I've said this. Oh, look it! They gave up a deep pass. Well, why didn't Dak stop that deep pass? Like, oh my God, it's Dak's fault. So, yes, it's a quarterback league. He is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You guys are blaming Jerry. Is Jerry out there? Did Jerry muff the punt? Did Jerry muff the other punt on both ends? Was that Jerry out there? Yes or no question. Answer me. Was Jerry out there?
No, not on the field, but he's in the stands.
How is it Jerry's fault if Brian Anger drops the punt? Victor, tweet me. Tell me how that is Jerry's fault, please. I'd like to hear how that is Jerry's fault. Turpin missed and caused the fumble. How is that Jerry's fault? Yes, everyone blames somebody else. It's at the end of the day. Could you have done more coaching to get him to catch the ball? Did he take his eyes off it? Was there sun in his eyes? Was there something else going on? So it's always, and I understand, always the quarterback's fault. Now, all 15 interceptions were Dak's fault. 100%, not the receiver. The Jacksonville game, should he have caught it? No, Dak put it right there on the numbers. How dare he throw it like that? And how dare Dak not make sure he caught that ball? Now, you could argue that several of the interceptions, maybe half of them were Dak's fault, but the other half are not. But that's okay. It's always the quarterback's fault. So this weekend, I'll be tweeting you, Mr. Leone. I will be tweeting you every game, every mistake, that's the quarterback's fault. Whether it's Josh Allen, if the kicker misses a field, Josh Allen's fault. It's always the quarterback's fault. So I would much rather have a Dak out there flinging it, throwing it, chucking it, than anything else. And I'll stand by that. And if we lose the game on Monday night and Dak's out there flinging the ball and, you know, doing whatever. Now, you can say whatever you want about last week. It was a meaningless game. Were they, you know, they weren't the gate. And I'm glad that they did correct when he said that, you know, Mike McCarthy's play calling. Mike McCarthy doesn't call the plays. Mike McCarthy doesn't even have a sheet in his hand. So, you know, and sure, the head coach, if, you know, head coach is the one that's going to get fired after 1 year, Lovie Smith, because, you know, you know, you, you know, you, did Lovie Smith get fired because they won the game? they tried hard to win the game and lost the number one pick? Is that why Lovie got fired?
Apparently, he doesn't believe in tanking either.
Who does? Who does? You know, I have friends text me and tweet me all the time going, oh, they're tanking. They're tanking for that. No, you will never find a coach or a player who are looking to tank. Now, you know, it was a meaningless game. And, you know, people will go, no, you said they had to. Yeah, they had the shot at the number one seed. But you knew right away that the Eagles and 49ers were not going to lose. So it was a meaningless game. Did you notice how vanilla the play calling was on that game? Because they weren't going to be pulling all. They're going to keep all the good stuff for the playoff game. Why are they? And, you know, I've told you this before. I'm a big fan of, you know, putting stuff on film. So put stuff on film. And then the team goes, oh, look at they ran that play look at that play they ran with Santiago and Ray. Oh, I guess we should maybe spend a few minutes and defend that. They may never call that play ever again. Big fan of putting stuff on film. Big fan. So they kept it pretty generic. They, you know, they were trying hard, but not super hard, in my opinion, because, you know, and, you know, look what happened. You know what you don't want to happen? Your star wide receiver to get hurt in a meaningless game right before the playoffs. Oh, did that happen to anybody? Oh, let me think, Chargers. Right? So, but sure. It's always Tony Romo's fault. It's always Dak's fault. And when I say, it's, and when I agree with Aaron that it's always the quarterback's fault, I go back to Josh Allen last year. What did he do? He left 13 seconds on the clock. Why did he leave some? If he had, you know, ran it down to 8 seconds, would Mahomes had enough time to come back and score and get that? No, and tie the game. And then if he had called heads instead of tails, they would have gotten the ball. Would they have scored? Probably. So again, Josh Allen's fault. So yes. I can argue that every loss this weekend will be the quarterback's fault.
QB's fault.
Ohio State. It's CJ's fault. They lost the game. Why did he only get to the thing to make it a 50-yard field goal? Why didn't he get in closer so it'd be a 40, maybe a 30? Whose fault is that? Is that the kicker's fault that he didn't get close enough for it? Again, it's always the quarterback's fault. So, yes, it's always Dak's fault.
Dak's fault.
It's always Dak's fault. It is always Dak's fault. And or if we win, it'll be Tom Brady's fault.
It's Dak's fault. That's why they're number fifth seed in the NFC.
And he is he's the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. It doesn't matter who that person is. It makes zero difference who that person is. That person will be hated. We didn't have the internet back in the Staubach days. We didn't have the internet back in those days. And everyone is, you know, reveres Staubach and everybody reveres other, you know, those old timers. But if it was now.
Let's go into this weekend. Super wildcard weekend for the NFL. Let's go into predictions. The first game of the weekend, Seattle at San Francisco. Jeff, who do you got there?
You know what, Ray? Sorry, Ray. I think Seattle's going to pull it out.
Upset.
I think Seattle is going to – I think they – San Francisco has won 10 in a row. Can they win 14 in a row to win a Super Bowl? I think – and then with the weather, how's the weather going to affect everything? I believe that there's a bit of rain out there in California. Somebody fact-check me on that. So if the weather is inclement, if the weather is not beautiful San Francisco weather, then I think Seattle and his $3.5 million bonuses, Geno Smith, I think. Sorry, Ray.
Later in the day, Saturday Night Football, the Los Angeles Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jeff, who do you got there?
You know what? I don't have a quarter. I was going to flip a coin. Both teams are evenly matched. I think it's going to come down to which quarterback will get their team close enough for their kicker to make a game-winning field goal. What's the I think what's the spread? I think it's what, it's like less than two. Like it's like, or it's pick 'em. Like I don't even think the odds makers. I think they you know, it may be leaning one way, maybe leaning Chargers only.
Is leaning the Chargers by 2.5.
Yeah, like that's, you know, virtually a pick 'em.
Hard to win in Jacksonville though.
Again, which quarterback gets them to the close enough to, for the kicker to make it, you know, he's not kicking a 65-yard field goal to win it. Which quarterback is going to get them close enough near the end of the game? Because I think otherwise, now let's see what happens with their wide receiver situation in the Chargers. Let's see what happens there. Let's keep an eye on that.
Sunday, AFC East showdown, Miami at Buffalo. Skylar Thompson is starting. Tua will not be playing. Who do you got
that matchup? Yeah. The whole DeMar Hamlin, it's going to be the Bills. It's,
favored by 13.
Yeah.
13. So, next Sunday night, no, Saturday late afternoon, New York Giants at the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings beat the Giants by 3 points a couple of weeks ago. Your thoughts on that matchup?
You know I can't pick that other team out of New Jersey. I am incapable of picking that team.
Kirk Cousins moves to the divisional playoffs. Baltimore at Cincinnati. Lamar Jackson will not be playing in this game. Tyler Huntley is. Bengals, Burrow, ready. Who do you got in Cincy?
Don't forget, folks, the defending – where am I? Way over here. The defending AFC champion are the Bengals. So don't forget that. Everybody forgets that. They are the defending AFC champions.
And Cincinnati is favored by 8.5 points. And the granddaddy
No Lamar.
No Lamar. Big factor there. Monday Night Football, the granddaddy of it all, Dallas Cowboys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
Tampa has won the last two meetings in Tampa against Dallas. Is that a factor? Jeff, who do you got for that matchup?
You're not going to mention Tom is 7-0 against the Cowboys?
That too.
You're not going to mention that?
Enough, that's that.
You're not going to mention that?
I did not know that till right now.
You did not know that? Yeah. I guess I got to send you more tweets than I already do. But I don't send you many NFL tweets anymore. I only send you other real sports.
College, some college swimming, don't you?
I like all sports. There is no limit to my, I have four TVs behind me. There's a lot of sports on these TVs. 1 a.m. sailing. 1 a.m. Eastern. Sorry. What? Yeah. 1 a.m. Eastern sailing. I'll be, expecting you. I'll be live tweeting it with you. So there you go. So this game is going to come down to the referees. Micah's going to look at Tom, and they're going to go, well, that's roughing the passer because you looked at him the wrong way. That's roughing the passer. And they're going to give Tom, you know, and they're going to kick a field goal to probably to win it. Cowboys, I want the Cowboys to win. I'm picking the Cowboys to win. But it's going to come down to the referees. They're going to do something stupid. And they're going, you know, Micah's going to just look at Tom and they're going to be like, roughing the passer. Because if you just look at Tom, you get flagged. So as long as Cleet is not calling the game, then I think we should be good. But it's going to come down to the referees getting Tom. The NFL wants Tom in the Super Bowl. I'm stating it now. The NFL wants Tom in the Super Bowl. They want a Tom rematch against Patrick. And can I say how I don't like if it's a Bills Kansas City AFC Championship game, I don't like the location they picked.
Atlanta, that is the neutral location because of the Hamlin situation.
Should have done it.
Played at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia.
They should have picked it in Green Bay.
I voted for that too, but did not come through. Well, there you have it. Super Wild Card Weekend this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Action packed. We'll see what happens on all these days. This is January football. Jeff Jeschnack, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about where is the best place to get Cowboys merchandise?
I should sell Cowboys merch, but Jerry wouldn't allow that. Jerry wouldn't allow that. We got to talk sports betting about what Fanatics is doing down in Washington. I don't know if Aaron covered that on the show on Tuesday night, what Fanatics are doing. So much to talk about that's not NFL related. I could talk for hours non-NFL. Anyways, you want to reach me? You want to yell at me? You want to tell me Dak sucks? You want to blame Dak for every Victor, every mistake? Actually, every mistake that is made, I will be tweeting Victor and you and saying, look at Dak, he messed the pump. Look at Dak, he didn't make that tackle. Oh, he didn't sack that guy. That's always, because again, it's always the quarterback's fault.
You can reach Jeff at Jeff Jeschnack, JeffGignac on Twitter. He tweets all day, all night.
I don't rank to get a sports cast shirt.
Gaming, sports, you can't beat that. And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. So today we cover the NFL coaching changes.
You can get sportscast merchandise.
You too, at thesportscast.net. NFL coaching changes, the playoffs. Jeff, I cannot ask for any more. I appreciate you coming out to the sportscast.
Oh, you could. You choose not to. I gave you a list of 25 topics to talk about.
And we could have Jeff come back. We'll see. To recap what happened next Monday, we'll see. It's still pending. It depends on the result. Nope. And there you have it. This was your update.